Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Podcast. This is number 1001B. The B's are always great guest segments. The A's, the latest medical news and what it means to you. We've had a great set of medical news this week, so you'll want to download that 1001A. Remember, although 1000 may sound like a great number and that we should have celebrated, we're celebrating when we get to 1040, because that will really be the 20-year mark. So 1040, I guess that's in 39 weeks or so, so it'll be towards the beginning of next year, I would guess. Today, Carla Burns, a research analyst for the Environmental Working Group, is going to talk to us about a subject that is absolutely near to my heart today, because we're at a beach, Bethany Beach in Delaware, and we have a four-year-old who were smothering in zinc oxide, micronized zinc oxide. Makes her look a little white, and she fights us putting it on all the time, but she tolerates it eventually. And then there are spray things that don't turn white that have chemicals in them. So we've got to find out what should we really be using, and does it make a difference if you're 4 years old or 40 years old, as our children are, or myself at age 75? Does it even matter for a 75-year-old person to do this if you're not going to live about 30 years longer? Carla Burns joined after she graduated from the University of Rochester in Earth and Environmental Sciences. She then was in the Peace Corps as an agroforestry extension agent in Senegal. So we should talk to her a little bit about that. And she has an MS in environmental science with a focus on ecotoxicology from American University. So, Carla, before I get to more about you, which I want to do, I should tell our listeners that we are sponsored by Persona Nutrition. You can take the free online assessment test at mypersona.com. Find out what you're missing or not in your nutrition, to find out what supplements you might need or not need to ensure a appropriate diet for the daily values you want. That's mypersona.com if you want to find out. Carla, thanks for joining us. And I wanted to find out what your take in. So Senegal has much more sun than Rochester, New York. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. A lot more sunny days in Senegal than we do in upstate New York.
Now, when you were in Senegal, did you know much about sunscreens?
Not nearly as much as I do today. I will say I've had an interest in personal care products and chemistry for quite some time, but I have learned a lot, I would say, in the past 5 years, really working on EWG sunscreen guide. So I was not a sunscreen expert by any means when I went to Senegal.
Now, when you go to the drugstore up here in, we're on vacation with my granddaughter, son, et cetera, at Bethany Beach. But when you go into the drugstore, whether it's CVS or Walgreens or Rite Aid, they're all here. And you find literally a array of spray-on products, an array of liquids. But the one thing we had to bring, because they don't have it here, is micronized zinc. And you'd say, and at least I was always taught in that you use either micronized zinc or titanium. The reason we went away from titanium oxide is that when you exercise with it, the sweat turns the titanium oxide to make you look like you're dead. And if you lie down in the sand, it gives you a very grayish look. It really does look like you died. Dr. Oz was here one day and had that on, laid down in the sun after we were playing with Frisbee. And someone went over and said, we need to shock him. that's how bad titanium oxide, a mixture of titanium. So we went to zinc oxide solely from that point of view. But is that right? Are those still the best, or do they have toxicity too?
Yeah, we still highly recommend the mineral-based active ingredients, like you said, zinc oxide or titanium dioxide. Zinc oxide in particular is great because it's also a good UVA protector, and not just UVB rays. But, you know, it is a personal preference on what each person likes. We've come a long way in terms of technology and formulations. And, you know, back a few decades ago, there was a lot of zinc that was really, really hard to rub in. And now with some of the newer formulations, there are ways that it can rub in a bit more and have a little less of that white sheen. But like you said, it's all a matter of preference. So whether you choose the zinc oxide or a combo zinc titanium dioxide, but we do suggest that you go with one of those two active ingredients.
So why do we say you go with those? There's some spray-ons that my son says to put on his back. He's in the mid-40s or early 40s. And you'd say, is that a good thing for him? In other words, does it matter? We figure if you're going to have a fuss, you really want to have the fuss when you're young. Is that proper thinking, or am I totally in left field or right field or wherever out is?
I'd say it's a little of both. It's important at all ages to make sure that you're protecting yourself from the sun. So that's both using sunscreen, but also other sun protection measures like a hat, t-shirt, sunglasses when you're outside. But it is really important if you're outside with young children that you are protecting them even more and paying attention to their skin. You know, a few really harmful sunburns at a young age can have detrimental effects in the long term. So even if you are 4 years old, 40 years old, or 100 years old, you should still be using sunscreen. But we do really want to pay attention to the little ones. And you bring up a good point with spray sunscreen, because a lot of families with young children think that sprays are very convenient. You know, little ones don't like to sit still. But with spray sunscreens, it's very difficult to get adequate thick enough protection, because sunscreens are most effective when used according to the directions. And you have to use at least an ounce of product for an adequate uniform layer. And if you think about an ounce of a spray, that's a whole lot of spray that you really have to get on there. And there's also the inhalation risk, depending on what the ingredients are in that aerosol product. Spraying it does bring up some additional inhalation concerns that could be especially problematic for little lungs. So we do encourage users to use lotion or stick products and try to steer clear of the spray sunscreen.
And tell me, I haven't seen a spray that has zinc oxide or titanium dioxide in it. So you're getting something else. And a lot of them say oxy something. I don't even remember the last name. I think it has a benzo or something in it.
Oxybenzone.
So tell me, what are the ones we want to avoid for our health? Because there are some we want to avoid, right?
Yeah, oxybenzone is one of those ingredients. It's fairly popular in the what we call chemical active ingredient sunscreens. It's pretty popular, found in about 40% of the chemical products we looked at this year. Widely used active ingredient, but it is a known skin sensitizer, and there have been several studies showing that it does have some hormone disruption effects in both children and adults. So there is a higher toxicity concern around the ingredient oxybenzone. And you may have heard it more recently in the past few years, because there's also some aquatic toxicity that's taken effect, particularly around the coral reefs. And so there are some regions, states, countries that have actually put a ban on oxybenzone being sold in certain regions. So both the human health impacts and the environmental health impacts, we suggest that you steer clear of oxybenzone.
Now, are there acceptable, if you will, chemical sunscreens? So let's go, and if I can, now that I've gone to the end result, which is I like zinc oxide that's micronized, and you're saying that's a good choice. Now tell me about the whole field of sunscreen. What's the difference, for example, between SPF 10 and SPF 30 and SPF 50?
Yes, that is a very good question, and that is something that took me some time to learn, because I was one of those people who, before I started studying sunscreens, I thought that the higher the SPF number, the better it would be for my skin. When really the difference between an SPF 50 and an SPF 100 is very negligible. I thought that it would be double and that it, you know, went in those increments. But if you properly apply an SPF 50 sunscreen, it blocks about 98% of UVB rays, whereas an SPF 100 blocks about 99%. So there's only a 1% difference in protection, but that value is 50 higher. And so we definitely encourage consumers to choose lower SPF products, because the higher you go, it's not that much extra UVB protection, and you may not be getting the additional UVA protection, which we can go down that a little later. So generally we say an SPF 15 is the lowest you should go. Anything lower than that, especially if it's not being applied properly, you might not be getting the protection you need for your skin. And try and stay at the 50 plus or below. So a range between 15 and 50 is best.
And now you've mentioned UVA, UVB, and there's a UVC, because that's the kind that actually kills the coronavirus. The A and the B don't kill most viruses, I've learned. And most bacteria. So it's the C that does that. But apparently we don't get much C. So unless you've got a sun lamp or a break in the ozone layer, at least I was told that. So correct me on that. So you've talked about UVB is the common one we protect against. And that has the Now it's the A that has the deepest penetration. Tell me about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I remember UVB is for burn. That's my little way of remembering. So UVB is associated with skin burning, skin redness, and that has a correlation with the actual value that you will find on the product. So that SPF value is a measure of how much protection your skin will get from skin reddening and burning. Whereas, like you mentioned, UVA is longer wavelength, lower energy, penetrates deeper, plays a bigger role in skin aging and wrinkling, and it does not have a direct correlation with the value on the bottle. So that's something you may see on a product where it says broad spectrum protection, and that's indicating that the product protects you from both UVA and UVB rays.
And so zinc oxide does that.
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona Assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
What other products are there available other than the micronized zinc and the micronized titanium dioxide and the ones that are hormone disruptors you've already talked to us about, oxybenzone, I think it was. Are there other ones that are commonly available that we should know about or avoid or maybe use in certain situations?
Yeah, I will say if you are going to choose a chemical-based active ingredient, that you do want to look for the ingredient avobenzone. So that is a very good UVA protector. So zinc oxide is the best one that's mineral, and avobenzone is the best one that's non-mineral. So some people do have the preference. They don't want the whitening or may have other skin sensitivities that they can't use a mineral sunscreen. So if they do choose a chemical-based one, make sure there's avobenzone in there. Those are the two best that are available for use in the U.S.
What's the difference between avobenzone and oxybenzone? Must be some chemical difference. What is it?
That I would have to dig a little deeper into. I don't have that off the top of my head, the exact chemical structural difference between the two.
One of them has more toxicity than the other. The oxy has more toxicity.
Yes, that is correct. Avobenzone does not have, has not had as much evidence showing hormone disruption. FDA has done some studies and it is an ingredient that does not absorb as readily into your blood as oxybenzone does. Now, the chemistry behind the reasons why, I would have to dig a little deeper into. But avobenzone in general has less toxicity concerns to oxybenzone.
The other thing that both our readers and I, our listeners and I, and this is number 1,000, I think it's 1,001B of You, the Owner's Manual podcast. And we're talking with Carla Burns, who's an expert from the Environmental Working Group on sunscreens. One of the things that I was amazed at was how expensive sunscreens have become. Is that just a marketing tool, or is there a reason why, for example, zinc seems common in and a common element and not that expensive? Why is the zinc oxide so expensive? And someone asked me, is there a way of making this at home that is useful?
Those are very good questions. So speaking to budget, it really depends on the formulator and where they get their ingredients from. So the suppliers charge different costs. Manufacturers have different associated costs. Some ingredients are more expensive than others. But we do maintain a list of what we call our best beach and sports sunscreens, which is recreational sunscreens, and best moisturizers with SPF. And one thing we do on our website is include price points.
So and that's EWG.org. Is that correct? EWG.org?
Correct. That is correct. And you'll be able to find our guide to sunscreens. We do indicate price points on there. So, you know, if you are sticking to a budget, trying to find something on the lower range, or maybe someone's looking to splurge, trying to find something that's a higher price point, we include that information on there. There's a wide variety, so it goes to show that you can create these products at all price points. The differences between them is up to the manufacturers and how they created that product. So I can't speak to exactly why things are so expensive, but I do know that, you know, sunscreens are considered over-the-counter drugs, OTC regulated. So there are a lot of regulations and things that have to be standardized for these products. But there is a wide range of price points available out there.
And
your question Making your own. That's something that I haven't been asked that before. I would, you know, if you have all of the materials available and the knowledge to do it, that's something you can go ahead and try. If there is one thing I would say is if there is water in the formulation to make sure you have a preservative. That's something that we frequently get asked. But you don't want to have microbial growth and put something on your skin, touching your face, close to your eyes. I've never attempted to formulate my own sunscreen or make it at home. But I would say that make sure you have adequate levels of these products, but they are considered OTC drugs. So there is a bit more regulation behind them and the manufacturing of them and the formulation of them. So it's a little different than just making a regular moisturizer or face wash.
And if you go to the EWG.org, you can click on sunscreens and find their list. And in their list, they have a three-star or $3 sign value. So you can find out which are the least expensive and which are the most expensive. And they list all of them, if you will, of, I think they have 737 sunscreens on their website. And the interesting thing is that if you go to advanced options, you can search by, if you will, lower cost, or you can search with no oxybenzone, no vitamin A. And by the way, the reason I would say no A and C is A and C, if you get that, they become oxidized by the sun and actually are pro-oxidants. So at least I was taught, again, use zinc oxide to the greatest degree and get the 15 to 50, as Carla says. No oxybenzone, and I would say no vitamin A and no vitamin C in my sunscreen anyway. And when you do that, you come up with, there are a whole bunch that are very interesting. So All Good Kids Sunscreen Butter Stick, they're interesting names. I haven't seen which ones have zinc oxide in them, but there's Badger Clear Zinc Sunscreen, and you got to click on that just to see. I don't know what Badger, but since it is a zinc sunscreen, you would expect that it was a low price as well as, and so it is in the one best score, and it is... this product scores well as a top choice for sun protection. It is, and I'm trying to find out since I just went through this, it is a one on Dower range. And when you look at the ingredients, 18.8% of it is zinc oxide. And there's some sunflower oil and beeswax, tocopherol, which is vitamin E. And the good thought about that is it is not, vitamin E is not in the harmful range when it is oxidized. So this looks like a good choice. And I guess 18.8%, it's interesting. I'm looking here and I'm trying to find, it's a UVA-B balance, which you would expect from a zinc oxide, and it is an SPF 30. So that's one of the ways you can clearly use the EWG.org website. Go to sunscreen, and then you can you put in the search characteristics. I put in no oxybenzone, no vitamin A, and zinc containing, and that and the dollar sign, $1 sign, and that's what popped up. And there are a number that popped up. I just got to one of them that had a name early in the alphabet, since it is an alphabetical list. So, Carla Burns, am I using it the right way? Is that the way this website and the Environmental Working Group aim to have us use it, or is there a better way of doing that?
Yeah, I mean, what you just did is a great way to use it. It can be used both to find new products if you're trying to find something different this summer, or if you want to look up a product you already have, you can search that by name. We also do have an app, so if people have cell phones, they can look up these products on their phone. And we do offer scanning capabilities for the barcodes. So if you're out shopping, you know, you don't have the time to look this up on the website, go through everything, you can just quickly pull it up, scan a product in the store, and it'll pull up this information for you. That's another great way to easily look at products on the go, because I know it can be really hard trying to find new products, trying to get through all this information. But in a very quick, easily digestible way, we put all that information in our app.
So an app as well. I didn't know there was an EWG app, but the website works beautifully for those of us who are old school. But thank you for the app. We've been talking with Carl Burns, who's a research analyst for the Environmental Working Group. And I'm going to ask her a couple last questions before we go. But I should tell you that we are sponsored, as usual, by PersonaNutrition.com. You can find out what you're missing in your nutrition by taking their free online assessment and either order from them or not. Or you may not be missing anything and just be reassured at Persona Nutrition. MyPersona.com is the way you get to it. And they, as I said, are the sponsor of the show, You, the Owner's Manual podcast. Carla, when you think about shopping for sunscreens yourself, and you probably know too much information, do you mix and match because you've probably tested a bunch of them? Do you use just one? Do you go from one on day A, and if you go out in the sun on day B, you go to a different one? Or do you always stick with the same one?
I would say a combination. It depends on if it's my daily routine or if I'm going to be outdoors for extended periods of time. My daily Monday through Friday routine, I use a moisturizer with SPF each day, and I do try and switch it up generally. I'm always using a mineral-based product, but the brands change depending on what's available near me. And then if I'm going to be outside for longer periods of time, if it might be during the peak midday sun, I'll choose a slightly higher SPF product, and it'll be more of a beach and sport or recreational sunscreen, and making sure I do reapply as often as needed. That's something that is really important that people do. Even if you're starting to use more of these daily products we're seeing on the market, you put it on in the morning, but if you are going to be out in the sun later in the day, you do need to make sure you reapply that product or another product on top of it. I'm pretty flexible. I like to try all sorts of new products and different formulations and scents. You know, everyone has a different preference for texture and what the scent is and product packaging. So I do like to try as many as possible.
Well, and you can find a range of these on the Environmental Working Group website, EWG.org, and go to that sunscreen spot. Carla, thanks very much. You've been wonderful, and I greatly appreciate your being here. Again, we're sponsored by MyPersona.com, Persona Nutrition. I've got to thank Joe for great engineering, as usual, and this has been 1001 Bee. The bees are always wonderful guests with really important information for us, like Carla Burns, the EWG research and database analyst who managed the ups to dates to the sunscreen guide, as well as the A segments, which are the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. For example, last week we learned about a couple of things that are important for you preparing for longevity as the next disruptor. Longevity is the next disruptor. How to avoid chronic kidney disease as you get older, and why when you eat in relationship to when you go to bed is so important to your nutrition, to your blood glucose level, and to your fat metabolism. You want to eat 10 hours before you go to bed, and finish 75% of your calories 10 hours before you go to bed, all of your calories 3 hours before you go to bed, you'll sleep better, you'll have more energy, you burn more fat, that is, your fat metabolism will be more ideal, you'll have a lower peak blood glucose level, and you'll feel more energy the next day. So eat in an 8-hour window and do most of your eating 10 hours before you go to bed. And of course, we learned what foods to avoid for chronic kidney disease development. Thanks again, Carla, for a great interview and a privilege of seeing how good this EWG.org website is. And thank you for downloading us. Thank you, Carla, and thank you for downloading us. And tell your friends about us, rate us weekly. 50,000 plus of you can't all be wrong. And in fact, most of you are right. This is a great information. I learned a ton, like I did from Carla. Talk to you next week, I hope, and hope you talk to us next week and tell us what you need. You can always send questions to questions@wenway.com. Thanks again.